With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, where we never, ever play for just one point. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of December. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushina Hantaraja. So much time there.
Trying to help you out, mate, because Vish has got a flight to catch, or nearly a flight.
Oh, someone I know has a flight to catch, and I'm helping him catch that flight.
That's the kind of guy he is.
Amazing altruism.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
I'm making up for past sins, but yeah, no, sorry for doing that, but I couldn't leave the silence.
Yes,
well, there was something about it. It was almost too long. It was showing off again.
We've recognised that you have a problem with silences. That's what you're doing here.
I can change that over the next 40 minutes if you want. Give it to you too.
The podcast equivalent of a dirty protest.
You don't want dead air though, do you? Even over a jingle. It's when the void stares at you. You don't want that.
Yeah, you've got to kind of start contemplating your own mortality in those moments.
Exactly. Less of that, please.
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Oh,
go.
This is podcast magic, people. Oh, lovely to see you. It feels like a long time. Should we just crack on with the football then, given that you just want to leave?
I don't know, actually. Should we talk about the football? Because what happened apart from
that? I'm really into the football. First of all, the Liverpool game. Quivín Kelleher is how we're pronouncing that excellent gentleman's name. Mm. Please do write in if you've got issues with it. He had basically a man of the match performance, completely unexpectedly starting in goal. Alisson's out for 2 weeks with a hamstring issue. And then also Liverpool's academy, Kenneth Jones scoring that slightly extraordinary goal from, I mean, why do we? Why would you? If you're Andre Onana, why are you leaving that, Jim?
Yeah, I don't know. It genuinely looked like a moment where he just switched off. didn't it? Because like, there's no other sort of explanation for it. Even Curtis Jones's face seemed to say, are you kidding me? Like, are you actually, was that a joke? Can you do jokes in football? And have you just done one?
Is this my first Champions League goal? That you, do you love me?
But actually, I mean, like, Curtis Jones really looks a player, doesn't he? It's nice to actually put a bit of a spotlight on him because he's done so well to come into that Liverpool side in the sort of games that he has this season and just look like part of the furniture, really. A new bit of furniture, a young bit of furniture, probably something Scandinavian and modern, but part of the furniture that goes in that Liverpool living room all the same. And I'm quite excited about him. And there's not been a huge amount of hype around him for a player of his talent in the age of hyping talented young players, especially Liverpool players as well, given how good they are at the moment. So I was very happy for him to get that goal, that slightly absurd, ridiculous goal. But it was still a hell of a finish.
Oh, yeah. It was,
it was more of a like slick one-touch pass, wasn't it? But it was still a good finish.
The fact that he had to react to some bizarre behaviour next to him straight away. I guess it was almost like maybe Onana didn't see him. Is that possible?
Could have been.
But the way you framed it at the start, that you know that he might love him. I like the idea that the Ajax lads are laying into him and he goes... and then points to the corner. Look how happy he is.
Yeah. Start of the game, he's been going, honestly, you got to see this Curtis Jones kid. He's so good. He's so good throughout the game. The defender's going, you're not that good, mate. What are you talking about? Like, I'll show you how good he is.
But the you know, what you said about the Curtis Jones hype is true. But the reason for that is because it happened before last season. Mm. They were talking about him as, right, this guy is going to come in, might play one or two games, but you're going to see how good he is. And the thing that really strikes me about him in particular is that he can, as you said, he's coming without fuss. He looks totally at home. He's not even that IKEA furniture that you need the instructions for. He's ready made, ready prepared. You don't have to, you know, he can finesse through the doors and up the stairs.
Yeah. It probably helps as well that he's not the only young player coming through at Liverpool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you can, so you feel like you're more involved with the first team anyway, even though if, even you're not regularly involved in first team squads. He can also play anywhere.
Seems that way, doesn't
it? Yeah, which is startling for any player because it's obviously so many young players have good technique, but he's obviously got it going on upstairs. So
Fish tapped his head for everyone.
You probably heard that in the mic. It's got quite a dense head.
Yeah, it was quite the dig.
Yeah,
impressive stuff.
But yeah, he hasn't got a dense head.
No.
Or if he does, it's full of knowledge.
As 18-year-olds tend to be.
Yes. He's wise. Thank you for setting me up for that. He's wise beyond his years. And it shows when he plays, doesn't it?
Oh, he was set up as well for the goal by Nico Williams. So it's just basically an academy.
Yeah.
An academy loving.
Yeah, the kids are all right. They were all over the pitch, weren't they, the Liverpool kids? And it was a funny game. It started off really well. The first 20 minutes or so was pretty pulsating. It looked like it could go either way. And then it just sort of kind of fizzled out, settled down a little bit. I guess Liverpool didn't really need to exert themselves that much.
Okay.
Or it certainly didn't seem that way as the pattern of the game kind of went on. It got a little bit cagey, didn't it? Got a little bit kind of like, you know, you have a go, we'll have a go, but
I don't know. Well, Davin Harris was hit the post about a minute before that winning goal, the winner was scored. I don't know. I thought they probably had the better of it in the run-up to the goal, just before the goal anyway, Ajax. Mm. But yeah, ultimately, Liverpool therefore top of the group. Some bizarre other stuff going on in the other game, wasn't it? Midtjylland, final score 1-1. Getting a cheeky little point there,
Midtjylland. Yeah, a little
Midtjylland.
Point in there. Atalanta
like
be fuming with that
they
after the result at Anfield.
Fuming.
That's a silly result, Atalanta. What are you doing?
Yeah, I guess they wanted to... I don't know. I'm like, who dares to think what Midtjylland must have been celebrating like off the back of that lovely
draw. Have they got? You say that like they've got previous history for being quite unruly after wins.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, well,
it sounded quite accusatory. That actually.
I wasn't meaning to cast aspersions. I feel like they know how to party.
Yeah, I suppose they do. Yeah, well, they might as well be in there for something. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe that's the motivation. Like, look, just like get a point somewhere and then we will have a night that you'll never forget or remember.
So they're going around different hotels being like, we'll take the slippers, we'll take the robes as well. Yeah, well, that's a nice pen. Loving it.
Oh, little shampoos.
You love those. How many little shampoos have you got?
Currently, I've got to the gym, actually. I've got quite a few.
You did just move. Did you route them out or did you transport them?
I transported them. Yeah. They're handy for the gym, aren't they?
Yeah, can be. How are you going to the gym?
Well, not right now, but they're open again today, but you know.
You've already been in, haven't you?
I've not been breaking into my gym during the lockdown and showering there. I know everyone says I live in the studio, but I don't really.
Gym's, well, as we know, it's been working out and getting into good shape. Klopp afterwards was praising Nico Williams, although he did run like straight onto the pitch to embrace Kevin Kelleher, which was...
Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it?
So lovely, because there's imagine, he would have been, you know... If there'd been fans in there, they would have gone absolutely balmy for him. He made some amazing saves.
He did.
Kept a clean sheet in the Champions League.
Looked confident throughout as well, didn't he?
Like point blank range, really close to the end. He made a big save that, you know, saved the win. Oh, it was brilliant. And you can just imagine them going absolutely balmy for him.
Yeah.
So a small
and a hug
small
from Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. Wouldn't you love a hug from Jurgen Klopp? You're going to feel it for 2 or 3 minutes afterwards, but I think you'd feel so validated. It put such a spring in your step. And actually, one of the good things about being able to see the football in the weird circumstances we can without real crowd noise is that you can hear the players a lot more. And you could see that Kelleher was very commanding and like... You've got to be confident to come in as a young goalkeeper and be bossing defenders around. You've got to be a certain type of character to be able to do that at all. And he seemed very kind of ready and apt and just able. Adrian's face on the bench was a picture as well. You got a feel for him.
Good picture, bad picture?
A sad picture, but a sort of a telling one.
Keller said that he wished him all the best and said he'd be backing him and... all that stuff. So that's really nice.
Really? Is it nice or is that the sort of thing that makes you want to knock his block off if you're Adrian? You wish me all the best.
No,
dear.
The other way round.
Oh, right.
Adrian said to Kelleher, oh, you know, I'm with you. I'm supporting you. We're all a team.
That's good. Because the other way around,
that
is very cheeky.
Yeah, and quite patronising.
I mean, it was never going to be any other way, was it? It'd be great if he was like, oh, you know, what was he like? So, honestly, he hasn't said a word to me.
Yeah.
He won't even look me in the eye. Yeah. He leaves the room whenever I walk in.
Oh, man.
Pissed off.
It's like Claudio Bravo in the All or Nothing Manchester City documentary. Bless him. I don't know. I always felt like he was just watching with quite a lonesome look every time Man City.
Should have made saves then, shouldn't he? Oh. Should have made saves. Remember, he didn't. He stopped making saves.
It's a tough
like Kepa did.
Job, innit?
It is, but that is literally all of it.
Yeah. No. That's the primary role.
Playing out from the back is all of it. If you're in a Pep Guardiola team, come on, guys. And also, apparently, according to Melissa Reddy of this parish, Kelleher used to be a prolific striker.
Really?
Yeah.
So he thinks like they do.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. He knows what they're going
to
do before they've done it.
To stop a striker, you need to have been a striker.
Yeah, it's like you can't talk about football unless you've actually been in the game, isn't it?
Yeah. That could be brilliant if he goes on to have a long, successful career, which I'm sure he will and I hope he does, if he sort of goes up for corners, but he's like a sort of like... proper sniffer in the box. Might be one that can get some goals.
Well, you say that, but I think when a goalkeeper goes into the box, because they're wearing a different shirt, they're already thinking, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I'm already out of place here.
But that can have quite the opposite impact, can it? If you are the opposing goalkeeper, you're like, whoa, what is this, like, red stuff?
No, because I think you recognise in that other person that they are lost. It's a little bit like if you got invited to a party and you thought it was fancy dress, but it wasn't.
No, it's not like that.
I think it's a little bit like that.
I think some people can own that.
Oh, I see. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think by and large, most people go into that situation and think, oh my God.
Yeah. Sort of Bridget Jones rabbit thing.
I think whenever goalkeepers go up for a corner late on, I think people get... they think about glory, don't they? Even the person taking
the
corner
problem,
and they
it?
Go for the goalkeeper. Yeah. Like, don't go for the goalkeeper. Go for an outfield player that's in the space the goalkeeper has created, surely.
Like it's magnetised towards this guy who is basically, unless he's Kevin Kelleher, the least likely person to score.
Well, but
goal,
you
probably.
Get someone to knock it down for him, and because he's got his prolific striking instincts, he'll probably score.
Good with his feet, clearly.
Exactly.
Yeah, because obviously, if he, you know, clearly it's why he's a good striker that he's now in goal.
Little diss on your Champions League debut, mate.
I tell you,
don't mean it.
How did you get on when you were goalkeeper in a Champions League
Too
game?
Too short
against
to be
Ajax.
A goalkeeper in a Champions League game. Been through this
with a Napoleon-esque mentality. I'm sure it'll be fine.
No, he was a little more confident when he'd go and go, wouldn't he? Sure.
Steph Curry's a basketballer. Like, come on, what's wrong with you?
Steph Curry's like 6'1".
Yeah. I mean, Jorge Campos was pretty small, and he loved a Larry goalkeeping kit as well. So, I mean, it can work. It would be an incredible bit of kind of showboating acrobatics, wouldn't it, if Jurgen Klopp introduces a young goalkeeper who starts banging them in at this point. It's like, how good do you want us to be, all right? Yeah. How good do you need us to be?
Well, I mean, that's
Peter be fuming, obviously.
Or loving it secretly.
That's the important point in this. I think we realise...
What is the important point in this?
With all Liverpool's injuries and these children coming through...
Yeah.
That, like, at no point, you know, should a team be that deep in terms of having, say, like, a bank of players to bring on who are oven ready. Mm. But because their youth system is so good, because the clarity from top to bottom is so spot on, that they can just walk into a Champions League game and do these things.
And know their roles as well, which is brilliant.
Well, we might
it's
be
annoying, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's annoying when your club don't do it. Yeah, but you have to admire it elsewhere.
Even just someone who's been a teenager lacking any kind of purpose and has carried that into their 30s, I'm quite annoyed by it.
As we'll come on to in part two, we don't need to rage against that because what it is really is the dying of the light, Brexit. So we'll discuss, we'll come on to that later. No worries about that academy. People won't really have to compete against it. Ajax will be probably absolutely hammering us in many months to come. So final score there, Liverpool 1, Ajax 0. Liverpool, of course, don't need to worry, therefore, about their game against Midtjylland, so perhaps they'll be able to have a few more celebrations.
No doubt.
Yeah. Which is what we want, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's a dead rubber. Porto against Man City sort of treated a bit like a dead rubber with a 0-0.
City played really well, though.
That's true.
Yeah, they had a
lot
of chances.
That's harsh. I was hard. That was me being harsh there. I was going to say my favourite moment was where Edison kind of collided with Jorge Montero. Montero went in with his knee and kind of collapsed in pain, even though Edison, the bit that hit him was his sort of genital region.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you'd have thought it would go the other way around, wouldn't you?
Edison's tough, though, isn't he?
Mm.
He's sort of...
I don't know a lot about
this. Cock of steel, though, man.
That's what they call him.
Yeah.
Cock
imagine
of steel.
That. Oh, picked up an injury. What happened? I ran into Edison's penis. And I tell you, that thing. Oh.
I thought my knee was solid. sorry.
What was...
Like being punched by a snake. By a whole snake.
How would you punch...
I suppose snakes would headbutt.
As in,
you
like double
they?
Up? Or is
would,
it the
yeah.
head? Is it the head? Or is it like...
double up?
As in, would they like... Hard to... Describe
what,
this
like
on a podcast.
Curl around and slap you?
Yeah.
why did into your mind?
No, I'm bending, if I'm a snake, I'm sort of squidging up part of my tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make a kind of a fist.
Oh, yeah, I
sort of
see what you mean.
So you're kind of lying back and like,
yeah.
You know, going at someone like
Do
that.
Do snakes right? have tails or just are they tails?
No, it's all body, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't have feet. That's that much I
do. We do know that. That has been confirmed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, Man City were very good, weren't they?
What was Ruben Diaz doing?
Yeah, I mean, he very nearly got an assist. Do you mean when he hooked the ball back over?
Absolutely,
for,
yeah.
But I mean, he's never going to score. Am I giving him too much of the benefit of the doubt, thinking he meant to just get that back in play so someone could get their head on it?
No, when he cleared the ball off the line.
Oh, of course.
When Manchester City's Ruben Diaz cleared the ball off Porto's goal line. Mm. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know he could do that.
He must have thought it was going wide, surely, and been trying to hook it back into play.
No, I think he was trying to score and lost himself in more being.
No, you do you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Because I think he just, you know, he didn't get it. Well, obviously he didn't get it right. But I think he did a Kelleher, didn't he?
Oh.
I didn't mean it. But yeah, no, that was quite amusing. Because, yeah, City were all over them.
Yeah, and he was helped by, well, he helped out Marcin in the net for Porto. And I guess for both teams, yeah, this is the outcome that was the best one, right? Man City topped the group. I guess wanting to focus on or need to focus on the Premier League. I think it's fair to say a little bit of needle on the sideline again. Love it.
What we like.
Sergio Conceição and Pep Guardiola do not seem to get on.
The quotes were amazing, weren't they, after the game? If I had his budget, his players, and still couldn't get a win, I'd be sad too.
Is there history there?
Burn! Well, they were a bit pissed off with each other in the previous...
Sorry. Oh, I mean,
more
like historically.
History.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one you need Brussel for. But they seem to have gone... They don't seem to have been enjoying each other's company on the sidelines.
No.
I love that. I'm all over that.
Yeah. Mm.
get. I want more manager on manager niggle, especially when they don't meet that often.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
It's a luck of the draw because it just, you know, that resentment, it just carries, doesn't it?
It does. It reminds me of the glory days of that terrible thing Alan Pardew said to Manuel Pellegrini on the sidelines that time.
What was it?
It's very sweary. It's very sweary.
I feel like I want you to say it.
Shut your noise, you sweary old swear.
Thank you. Yeah. Why didn't you do the swears?
Why did he?
Why didn't you?
Why didn't I? Well, yeah. I'm just conscious of
you're
the
quite
swearing.
Larry, it?
Well, one of the swears is like the main swear, and I don't want to fly too much up the swearing chart because then I have to keep it up.
Oh, I'm
with
you.
Effing and jeffing like a, you know, furious fishwife.
Yeah, all right then. Fair enough. I'm glad it didn't descend into that kind of abuse. Unlike the ramble always does. Jesus. What else went on? Well, Real Madrid lost again.
That's funny.
To Shakhtar Donetsk. 2-0 it was. Zinedine Zidane, the hero of yore. They forget so easily, don't they?
Those
Madridistas.
It's almost like they do it on purpose. It's what? Weird. It just forget their own heroes.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. I mean, people, I guess this comes down to this whole, like, are we playing, is he playing people that he used to play when they were good? And now they're not that good.
Mm.
Discuss.
Yeah, maybe it just looks like they're kind of struggling for an identity, isn't it? Because they're still based on one that they really should have moved on from by now.
Mm.
It's almost like a snake putting back its own skin on. It's not the best. It's not the most bestly constructed sentence I've ever spoke. But
I didn't know you were getting into your zoological analysis.
Do you know what I mean? Though it just feels like that. You know, what they're trying to do, they've already done, and it's tired, and they're trying to recreate something that isn't that is the past rather than the future, and hence they keep getting embarrassed by Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yeah, cool from them though, I guess.
Yeah,
if you will let Gareth Bale go.
Great name in Dentinho as well. You think you've heard all of the Inos, mm-hmm. and then another one comes along. Little Dent, great.
They're like, Dentinho, like baby teeth. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Milk teeth.
Or just little dents, I guess. Making little dents
in Madrid's ego.
Zidane.
Do you think there's anything in the fact that Real Madrid aren't playing at the Santiago Bernabeu? Because we talk about them losing identity. A lot of things about being those marquee clubs is beyond the kit. There's that sense of, oh yeah, we are this team.
Yeah,
we are the people who are not to be messed with.
You really feel that when you go in there as well.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, as we've said many times on this podcast, obviously Madrid is a huge draw for players, and you see players think about it when they get linked to them. Mm. But I remember going into the Bernabeu as a man in my 30s thinking, I want to play for Real Madrid. I don't know how I'm going to make this happen, but I have to make this happen. I want to play for Real Madrid. So even with no one in the stadium, that is a big part of why they're so fearsome, isn't it? And
But they've been playing
so many games at the training ground.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a completely different setup, isn't it?
Yeah, they're a bit of a... I was going to say it's sad to see. That's kind of pathetic. You'd be like, Jeff Bezos is hard on his luck.
Yeah, couldn't happen to a nicer institution.
But there is an element of it where you can see that obviously they're quite a big example, but so many people have been quite listless and lacking identity and like who they are across the world in all sorts of all parts of life, really. And it's interesting seeing a behemoth like that struggling with the same issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to hear whether Real Madrid have been attracting the sympathy, I guess, of on the continent, do give it a listen tomorrow. Don and Andy will be in your ears on Football Ramble Presents. Don't miss that one. Right, let's get to a break and then we will talk about the end of football.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your Elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham. Reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yeah, swear to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Merry Christmas.
What about some Aston Villa, your old side? You'd be hoping for big things this evening.
Yeah, I think like we said earlier, they've won. Oh. And there's a goal.
Oh, bless. Yeah. It's a hard gig. You got to concentrate very, very hard. Gabby Agbonlahor there on Sky. What, bit of a legend. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Let's get your emails.
Just even a show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
What? You're just looking... I'm just giggling at it. I know we talk about this tune a lot, but it sounds to me like Pete's getting more frantic within it. It's like he's secretly recorded a few of them that are getting more and more intense.
I like the idea that he has to do it live.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
everyone's wondering
morning.
Why there's a hole in the budget, and he's like, fucking hell, I've got to keep this up now. I have an email from Will Brown.
Yay.
Hi, Will. Thanks. Hoi hoi, Ramblers. Enjoy the story about the 9-year-old not getting his ball signed by the French World Cup winning team in my hometown of Belfast. This brought me back to the first time I ever watched a match. The game was the 1985 FA Cup final, Manchester United against Everton, and a young Norman Whiteside, bizarrely wearing number 4, curling the only goal round the flying bin man, Big Neville Southall. I was instantly hooked and immediately found a hero in Big Norm. I got the Ireland Mexico 1986 kit for my birthday and followed Big Norm's career, eventual retirement, and his conversion to a full-time podiatrist with keen interest. Years later, just after my 30th birthday, I was invited to a reunion dinner for the Northern Ireland 1982 World Cup team and met Norman. After a fair few, I woke up the next morning clutching a signed paper plate and felt like that eight-year-old in my parents' front room listening to Brian Moore's commentary. Cheers all, keep up the good work.
That's lovely.
That is serious.
I am intrigued as to why he was invited to the reunion dinner.
Me too, yeah.
Was everyone who watched it invited as well?
That'd be like, so good, like, wouldn't it?
Imagine, yeah, you just get everyone back, get the band back together.
Yeah, I think there's more stories to come from Will Brown. on these Rambler emails.
Yeah. Will Brown, what I would say is, so you're 8-year-old in 1986. So
you're not allowed to debunk Will Brown, are you?
No, I'm not debunking. I'm thinking it'd be nice to have a photo, wouldn't it? So you're taking him there to 2008. Would you have a camera phone in 2008?
Yeah. I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, definitely. No, actually, I was in uni. You're definitely cameras around then. Yeah.
Well, he's got his signed paper plate, though, isn't he? I think the selfie has now replaced the signature, but back then, I don't think that had quite happened.
Yeah, okay.
Suggestion, actually, for Will Brown. One of my mates is called Rich Brown, who actually sometimes listens to The Ramble, and he had a kid recently-ish, and he wanted to call his kid Kevin Duh. Kevin Duh. Come on, nice. It's a good idea. Nice. Didn't get away with it. A bit disappointing. Named it after the Leighton Orient mascot instead. Right, Steve Peck's emailed in. I was listening to yesterday's show where the dad of the ball-holding Irish boy who didn't get any signatures from the France squad. Okay, this has obviously touched a nerve with a lot of people. It's reminded me of the best bit of dad amazingness I ever experienced. At the age of 9 or 10, we went on a club trip to the old Wembley and got the tour of dreams. We went in the communal baths. Interesting that the communal baths are the first thing you'd want to go in, but sure, great. Up the 39 steps, in the royal box, in the dugouts, everywhere. The one thing we were told we were not allowed to do was go on the pitch because of the upcoming international. We walked around the old track on the outside of the pitch, and when no one was looking, my dad, from nowhere, picked me up, lifted me over the advertising hoardings, and quietly told me to get on the pitch, son. It's probably the only chance you'll ever get. Oh, that's so lovely. What a good egg.
That's excellent dad work.
Yeah.
Well done, Steve.
The email ends there, so we don't know if there were any like repercussions.
Yeah, I presumably he'd mention them.
Yeah, or maybe not. Yeah,
dad's still in prison. Like, I think he'd say. I mean, you can only be so reprimanded for a little bit of, you know,
naughtiness.
Stepping on the grass, can't you?
Yeah, agreed. So how old? Oh, he's 9. A bit harsh. Was that? Do we think it's a bit harsh on his dad saying that he's never going to get onto the Wembley pitch?
I mean, I thought it was good dadding, to be honest.
Yeah, but he's never going to get on there.
But that's what I mean. He gave him, you know, an extra little treat. Go on, have it. Mm. And then he also tempered his expectations for life.
Yeah, but maybe he would have been a great footballer without this. Maybe Steve Peck would have been. I can't work out the maths on the age. But yeah, maybe if he'd had a bit more belief from his dad.
Let's hope this isn't the case and he's not now going, oh my God, I did want to be a footballer and that did crush my dreams. I stopped trying at everything at that moment. Oh,
so
no.
I left the Manchester United Academy. Threw my football boot in the bin. Here I am emailing the Football Ramble.
Sorry, Steve. Sorry, we've turned your lovely memory into an absolute shitstorm. I really apologise. Thanks for all the lovely emails, guys. Keep getting in touch. We love it. show@footballramble.com, or you can, of course, tweet us if you want to make less effort, I guess. Mm. @footballramble. We like your tweets too. Actually, sometimes I like your tweets even more because they're very creative. And sometimes, as we know, they have pictures.
Mm. And they're brief. Which everyone likes.
Of which, more later. Okay, guys, so let's talk about this situation. It's kind of COVID corner, I guess. Mm. One good thing we could say, which is that the fans are going to be back in to English Football League games tonight. 6 games are going to be hosting fans for the first time, since football was locked down.
Yeah.
Really exciting. It's only 2,000 fans per game, but still, just the idea of having some real human people in some football stadiums is just making my day, really, to be honest.
Yeah, it's it sounds like good news on the surface, doesn't it?
But you're going to crush my dream, like we just crushed Steve Peck.
I'm not going to crush your dream. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, like, as I say, it sounds like really good news on the surface, but it's been a little bit controversial because some clubs are frustrated that they can't let their own fans in and feel that there's an unfair advantage elsewhere. And
No away fans, of course, partly because of the whole idea of, like, you don't want people travelling, and then if you're in tier, you're only allowed to do this if you're in tier two and not in tier three.
Yeah, it's very complicated, as the situation is in general. But Rick Parry, who, as we know, says a lot of things, has also said, we absolutely don't see that we can stay at this level for the rest of the season. It will be expensive. It is not generating money. Mm. It's costing money overall, but we do have to start somewhere. Now, I agree with him, they have to start somewhere, but you feel like perhaps this creates a bit of an unfair situation where some clubs can have fans in to support them and some can't. And if it's not making money, if it's costing clubs money rather than getting it sloshing around the game again and trying to sort of getting a little bit of like clawing some money back effectively, you wonder, well, actually, is it just a is it giving some teams an unfair advantage without actually any plus side to that?
Right.
I mean, I think the thinking has got to be that this is going to be a positive thing for those fans that can get back into the stadium and for those clubs that can have fans back, and let's do that for the sake of doing something positive, getting everyone's morale up. But it is it's a complicated situation, isn't it? It's been interesting to watch it unfold and see how people have reacted to it.
Well, no decision has been made yet on allowing more fans back in January, and effectively, I think, guys, this is a pilot.
Right? Yeah.
See what happens. Yeah. See how it works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can totally understand the element of it being unfair on a competitive level, but ultimately that's not why this is happening. They're doing it because they want to see how they can roll it out to more fans. As you said, Kate, it is a pilot. And also, I think certainly at the lower levels, there is a view that any kind of fan base coming in is beneficial for financial reasons. And granted, there's a point of that curve which does skew the wrong way as you move up levels just before you get to the Premier League, I suppose. But, even in the Premier League, actually, if you look lower down, it can be a bit of an issue. But, yeah, we have to start from somewhere, don't we? And I don't think there's anything wrong in the way they're doing it now. I think what is really important, actually, is the way that tickets, for example, are dished out.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever system.
Didn't get one for the weekend then.
Well, but, I mean, there does need to be some transparency over that, I think, to a point. I know, for example, West Ham have a problem where if you're in a certain area where you are, if you are in a tier three area, you can't apply for tickets. And things like that, just because where they are on the boundary of particularly Newham as well, which has been quite badly affected by it, COVID-19. So there are a number of things that teams have to go through, and I can understand why some fans, you know, you mentioned that Spurs game, and I noticed some fans online were not happy with who they see even getting tickets, because obviously people are talking about it, as you would do. You'd be excited to be going to that kind of game.
North London Derby, friends.
Exactly, yeah. There's going to be a lot of issues. There's going to be a lot of unhappy people in what is being, you know, sold to us as a happy situation. But I feel like that's kind of just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, you know, at least a step in the right direction on the road to
progress.
Recovery, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the point I feel. I don't know if it will be. The danger is, of course, it'll be one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we don't know how it's going to go. But, Luton, Wickham, Charlton, Shrewsbury, Cambridge and Carlisle all in tier two and playing tonight. So they're the ones who are going to be seeing fans. I'm actually going to the Cambridge United game, not taking one of the balloted tickets, I should point out. I'm working there. I just showed you guys the step ladder, the ladder up to the gantry.
You've got to climb a ladder.
Absolutely terrifying.
Why do you need to be up a ladder?
Got to be able to see the pitch, haven't you, Vish?
So you're watching the game from up the ladder, from like the top of the ladder?
I assume there's a flat bit that I can stand on. I don't think I've got to stand on the ladder.
But you don't know.
Oh, no.
You should check this, Kate. You might spend this evening up a ladder in the cold.
How's the cameraman going to fit on the ladder as well? That's not going to work.
God, so you're going to be on like a platform on the top of the ladder. God.
Where do they put you lot? That's what a TV gantry is, basically.
We're not in the TV gantry. We just sit
you
sit
and
down.
Your little special seats. Yeah.
You don't sit on special high chair ladders or anything?
No, not at all. We don't need, you know, the kind of frills that you lot need, apparently.
Frills? I'll be outside for the first time in, like, you know, 9 months or something.
Are you quite excited? I feel like I'm quite excited for you.
Thanks.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited as well.
We're going to Kate Mason. What's happening, Kate?
Someone's been sent off, I think. Or have they? Yeah.
Oh, it's windy. Oh, I'm wobbling.
Did I tell you about the ladder?
Oh, man. Well, anyway, I've got my ski trousers. That's the other thing I'm worried about, freezing to death.
Yeah, that'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
So you are going to do that newsreader thing of being dressed differently from the waist down?
Yeah. Great. I've got a blanket as well, just in case.
Imagine if you had a comedy fall over and your legs went in the air. And
down the ladder.
The look on your face then suggested that you have been imagining that quite a lot while looking at that ladder.
Yeah, there is. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. There's stars on the walls next to it. It all looks quite pretty.
It is pretty cool whenever you switch on Sky Sports News. Like, that's Kate Mason from our show. It'll be nice to see you doing like some other stuff as well.
Thanks, Vish. I feel like when I read your articles as well. But it's not so, I guess I can't like shout at it in the same way. That'd be quite weird.
No, but you should do. We should measure that, actually. How many people shit? Actually, no, maybe you shouldn't.
No, that's a dreadful idea. On the less positive side of things, I guess, well, definitely, although I guess it's Premier League and people working together to try and react to things, the Newcastle Villa game on Friday is off. We know that there were at least five players who had tested positive for COVID, and then the Newcastle closed the training ground on Monday. And yesterday, obviously, it started to be that they just wouldn't have a chance to train before playing this game. And I guess that people listened to the fact that this was not going to work out as a Premier League game on the Friday. The downside, of course, is it's the first time a Premier League game has been called off since the start of Project Restart.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? I wonder if actually Villa will look at that and go, well, at least we get a little bit of respite. And you know, Newcastle as well. It's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, I think it's 19 positive tests in all, including players
and staff.
They're
gradually building up, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I think, given the protocols that they've had to go through, and I say this as someone who you know, lives in London and sees quite a few people flaunting a load of different rules. That, for example, they are looking to see how there was, I suppose, this quote unquote breach of their biosecure bubble.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what happened there because the protocols are so strict. And I know that from going to football matches, but also just, you know, what the players have to abide by. And the things that they've been pulled up on, for example, you know, those Chelsea players are pulled up on just meeting in a group of more than six rather. You kind of get the impression that we'll find out a little bit more about what exactly has happened, why this spike has been caused. But the fact that they're all over it, the fact that they've closed the training ground, the fact that, like at the start of lockdown when the Premier League, it took them, you know, Arteta getting a positive test for them to go back on a statement they made 2 hours before, the fact that they've been able to do it with time to spare is important. It's just quite frustrating. And I suppose, while we talked about how exciting it is to get fans back, this is quite eye-opening to be like, look, it's not gone away. This is still a real threat to public health.
Yeah, all right. And I guess last thing before we go, this new Brexit, post-Brexit plan for transfers has been unveiled. Do we unveil a post-Brexit plan for transfers, guys?
Well, I think we just have.
It wasn't really unveiled, was it? It was like, by the way, this is happening.
This is happening a month today.
Soz about that. Basically, it means that if you come from the EU, instead of having... Well, this is what people wanted, isn't it? This is what everyone wanted, is that free movement of people is going to be stopped. So it means that free movement of good players from Europe is going to be slightly limited. And that's what everyone wanted.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if clubs find a way to work around this. For example, you know, City's group and the way they move players between that. I wouldn't be surprised if there are more official agreements between teams. That way you can move young players, you know, to a higher tier league, for example, by moving them from country to country.
Yeah, because it's like a points-based system, basically,
it does,
isn't it?
It puts obstacles in the way, though, doesn't it, of that? It certainly, it makes getting younger players here from a younger age a lot harder.
Well, you basically can't sign people who are under 18, which is the academy.
Presumably very, very difficult for academies going forward. That's going to make a big, big difference. And the point system and the criteria that players have to meet to get a move to England now, or Britain rather, I guess, it favours the big clubs, doesn't it? And not just on the surface, because quite often players will make a stepping stone move. They'll go to a club there'll be a Premier League club that might not be part of the sort of the traditional elite, and then they'll get their move later on. That's now harder for those players to do that as well. So that's gradually going to have a knock-on effect on presumably the quality. And there's been statements come out saying that it's all about safeguarding England teams, and there's a lot of rhetorical guff that you always get that's not actually based in anything tangible that I know of, that, you know, that always puts it forward saying it's going to benefit, you know, the English players and yada yada yada. We don't know how, you know, true that is. Presumably it just simply isn't, because you want the best players around to you know, lift the players they're playing with. And
it's just an ideological debate, isn't it? Do you want to...
And you can't put that forward as any sort of fact, can you? Which is what is happening here.
It's interesting that the criteria also applies to managers as well. They've had to have managed three out of the previous 5 years in what they describe as a top league, which covers 33 different leagues, but doesn't cover the Norwegian league. So if this situation had been applied over the last couple of years...
So you're pro this?
look, sorry, mate, it's a technicality. Yeah.
Sorry,
here's
Ollie.
Your box, though.
Brexit means Brexit, mate.
No, but yeah, so for example, Solskjaer wouldn't have been able to take the Manchester United job. Had this criteria been in place a couple of years ago.
Okay.
The worst case scenario, it's easy to doom-monger, isn't it? But you might look at how this would affect the Premier League in the long term, because obviously money talks, you know, as you say, Vish, like, I'm sure there will be, things will be figured out and top players will keep coming because there's a lot of money sloshing around in the Premier League. But if it does lead to some sort of slip in standards, and if in the future, the European Premier League raises its head again, that might tip the balance more in favour of other European leagues a little bit. And, you know, the Premier League, the reason it's so powerful is because it's so rich. But if a dent is made in that, then, you know, maybe its power will wane and it maybe won't be the attraction that it's been in the past. And it's a delicate thing.
It is a delicate thing. Well, we don't know, but we at The Ramble will be here to keep telling you what is happening and what is hopefully not happening.
So a reminder that you can get more juicy Ramble content by signing up to our Patreon. For just $5 per month, you get access to the Ramble Discord, where you can chat with us and fellow listeners about all sorts, as well as a weekly bonus episode. This week, Marcus sat down with Vish to hammer out his fantasy football dinner party. If you want to find out what utterly chaotic, hedonistic mix Vish went for, just head over to patreon.com/footballramble and sign up.
Did you cook?
Yeah, I cooked. Yeah. Right. I listened to your one. What a cop-out. I've got to step up here. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
wow.
it's very carb heavy, very rich, and
ready for training next day, I guess.
Well, no, I mean, that's why I picked all retired players, all people who've already let themselves go, so there's no problem about that.
So they very could smart. Dig into the steak.
So they basically don't make you feel bad about having what you want. That's a very good tactic.
And they're sleeping over as well. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to be in any fit state to drive.
They might have drivers, Vish. I don't know what tier of footballer you've come for, but I'm sure they're keeping it real, but you know. Also keeping it real tomorrow are Marcus, Andy and Pete. So join us for that one. Say goodbye, guys. Bye, Jim.
Bye.
Bye, Vish.
Bye.
See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Why When Question Time is a Stack production.